You ever think about who might be listening? Not to this podcast, though I do wonder that as well, but to us, who might be hanging on our every word, even in passing. People hear us, and sometimes it's just the tone of voice or an inflection on a word that catches their attention. And now we have listeners, or at the very least, strangers ear hustling our conversation. How about who might be watching us, watching how we move, watching what we do? I don't mean a stalker. I'm talking about people that may truly care or appear to care about us. Take our kids or our siblings, for example. They hear and watch everything we do. And in many instances, they admire us in some way. Well, guess what? So do adults. Even the most successful people look up to someone, whether they admit it or not. And in that admiration is emulation. So what happens when people have no one to admire? They go looking for their muse with nothing. Well, they cling to that which calls to them. Sometimes, with any luck, it's a father, uncle, mother, aunt, some positive influence. But in many instances, if that's not available, it's a musician or an actor that call to us, or even a persona or vibe that someone or something puts off that calls to us. So tell me, what do we do with negative examples targeted to impressionable folks? As the wise old wizard by the name of Albus Dumbledore once said, it's not a person's talents that define who they are, it's their choices. So if we know we can influence choices with our words and actions, is that not the key to preventing the negative from winning? Is it not our responsibility to behave and lead accordingly? I guess what I'm asking here is be mindful of your words and actions, because you never know who's paying close attention. My name is Jason Farias, and this is my madness method. So, like I said in the last episode, I know what happens next in the story. I know what comes next. It happened in order. But as I conclude one episode recording, I start thinking about and reflecting on the next. And knowing what happened next is when the statement, too dumb to run, got stuck in my head. And I wasn't sure what the hell I meant by that. Like, how does that tie in? I mean, it ties into the story, and we're going to get to it. But why was it stuck in my head? Like, what value did it bring to the table? And I realized something that was like deep for me, and I'm going to share it with you. I guess I'll let you decide. As I'm sitting here thinking on the past and in my life and what had happened, and then I'm watching the news today, and I'm seeing people that I grew up emulating, idolizing, taking lessons from. I had gotten into it in previous episodes about, I was listening to music. I wasn't just hearing music. Like, I was listening to what these rappers and what these actors and shit and what they were saying as though they were teaching me. Now we're watching the news and we're seeing these same rappers and actors, and for that matter, fucking politicians. We're seeing that they're all full of shit and it's all getting exposed now. So, these gangster rappers, or quote unquote gangster rappers, that are putting out, oh, I shoot this and I do that and I beat these people and I do these drugs. And, we're learning now, most of them ain't fucking doing any of it. Most of these guys don't do the drugs, don't drink the lean, don't take the pills. Most of them are clean. You think half of these guys look as good as they do into their 40s because they were doing drugs? Nah, they're selling bullshit. And these politicians, oh, hey, we got your best interest at heart. We're watching that that ain't the truth. And these actors, oh, we stand with this, but then you find out that they're the dead opposite. And here's the problem I have with this. I mean, other than the face value of it, here's the problem with it. These guys are saying things that they really only know about. They don't know from experience. Poets, so to say. Yeah, they know how to make words rhyme. They know what sounds right. So they're sitting there talking about these drugs and this violence and glorifying this certain way of treating women, and women are glorifying this certain way of behaving or treating men. All the while, they're not paying attention to the fact that there are young men and women out there that look up to them because they don't have anybody else to look up to. And so what they're doing is perpetuating the violence, the position of the way men treat women, women treat men, how we're supposed to behave in society. And they're not even the ones adhering to these fucking things they're saying. So you've got these very impressionable young adults, and fuck, some older adults too, that are listening to these people and thinking that that's how I'm going to act because look at, they're rich and they're famous and they're successful. So I'm going to behave this way because this is how they behave. And all that's doing is creating problems because see, these people that are listening to these rappers and they're listening to the stories that they're telling don't realize that it's just entertainment and it's bullshit. And myself included, I started listening to this like, hey, these are the rules, man. These are the rules. If I'm going to do drugs, this is, and I'm going to deal drugs, these are the things I have to abide by. And in reality, I'm listening to people that don't know what the fuck they're talking about. All the while, people like me, and in much worse situations, are just rabbit holing into this and living it. There's real fucking real gangsters in the rap game. There's real gangsters that are fucking actors. And let's be honest, there's some real gangsters in politics. But then you get these fucking guys that are getting popped for fucking trafficking of people and these other than what they've presented themselves to be personas. There's real fucking guys out there that have throttled down. And here's the problem is these guys that are real, they're really about the dope game, they're really about the rap game, they're really about that life, are getting their credibility taken or at least diminished because these motherfuckers are out there lying. The music industry perpetuates the problem. And yeah, I'm going to jump up on my soapbox for a minute because do you think it's a fucking accident that record companies are large shareholders in privatized incarceration that's traded on the stock market? You think that's a fucking coincidence? You think that these guys don't encourage and perpetuate this music? Because see, here's the thing, man. As long as the youngsters stay out there listening to these rappers and keep themselves getting in trouble, they're going to keep themselves going to jail, which is going to keep these jails full, which is going to increase the revenue that the government pays to these privatized industries. And the music industry is benefiting from it. It's a fucking funnel. And really, it comes down to the fact that so many people, not just in inner cities, rural areas, suburbs, rich neighborhoods, these people out there, these kids, these impressionable humans listen to these people and look up to them. And they take note and they try to emulate. It generates a vicious circle. And that's where I started really digging into Too Dumb to Run. Because instead of putting each other up, or instead of like, hey, here's a disclaimer, like I'm lying, but this music's good. Cool, man. I mean, I get why they don't. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm full of shit, but check out how good I flow. Like, that's not going to sell the records. When somebody like me is looking for somebody for guidance, and the only thing we have to turn to for whatever reason is music or movies. Or God forbid the news or a politician. Good Lord, those might be the worst of them. What we're being met with is the plan to perpetuate the life cycle of violence and gratuitous sex and so on. And we're getting our impressionable brains fed bullshit that we then take into the streets and think, this is how I gotta act. This is how it is. It's fucking not how it is. Let me get into how this all ties into my Too Dumb to Run. Duck and I started spending a lot more time together. Now, mind you, KK and I hung out constantly. I mean, that was kind of my connection over to the apartments. As Duck and I got to know each other better, We just like had this immediate bond. Like we were both equally fucking goofy dudes. You know what I mean? Like it didn't matter how hard we acted. Me and this dude were like fucking teenagers. Like he invited me over one time and sitting when I went over there and we went to his pad, and that's when I learned that, oh, Duck's married. He introduced me to his wife. It admittedly, I was probably high as fuck, and she really wasn't a fan. She was very nice and very much not a part of this life. And he also had two daughters. And the night that I learned that, his wife was taking their daughter. They were going, so I don't know if they were going to see her mother, his mother, wherever the fuck they were going. But when they left, like I immediately started trying to talk this guy out of doing drugs anymore. I was like, bro, you sure you want to be fucking with this stuff? I mean, I don't even know you that well, and I know this sounds weird, but like you kind of got what you need here. And he was like, "Oh man, it's all good. Don't trip. I just party a little bit." And I was like, "Fuck. All right, man." And so we proceeded to keep playing video games, getting fucking high, and just really hanging out. And I don't know, bonding, if you say. I mean, fuck, do tweakers ever really bond, or do they just talk over each other until they figure out something else to do? Duck and I used to take off to the strip. Okay, and this is like the friendship that he and I had, because we were goofy together, right? We were video games. Of course we were getting high, but we acted like children around each other. And you know, when I would leave his house, I would get up and he'd get up and like we'd dab each other up. All right, homie. And then I'd smack him on the ass and I'd tell him good game. And he'd always yell at me, man, I'm not on your team, fool. And forgive me here, because this might get offensive to some people, but this was Duck's idea. He said, why don't we go to the strip and really fuck with the visitors? And I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. You know, what else are we gonna do? And he goes, all right, when we go there, I'm gonna go to one side and you're gonna come from the other, and I'm gonna bump into you, and I want you to turn around and start screaming at me. And I mean fucking like going in on me, like you want to throw the N-bomb around, fucking go for it. And I was like, oh god, dude, like that's crazy. He's like, nah, watch. And I was like, yeah, fuck it, let's go. To be clear, I didn't drop any end bombs. Couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. But nonetheless, he's walking down one side of the strip in front of, I believe it was the MGM. And I'm coming from one direction. He's coming from the other. And he bumps me. And I turn around and I say, you punk motherfucker. What the fuck, bro? Da, da, da. And like the seas parted. And Duck, like swelled up, and then he like slowly counted, okay, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm like, yeah, motherfucker. Now mind you, this guy's got me by 80 pounds and a foot tall. I don't know, maybe not as entertaining for you to hear as it was for me to experience or for people to watch, but that was the kind of shit he and I did together. But there was one night chilling at his apartment that he shared with me about this dude, Danny Boy. Now, this fucking guy, Danny Boy, across on the other side of Tropicana from Sedona Ridge was a fucking trailer park. Okay. And Danny Boy lived in a trailer park. How fucking fitting is that? Now, Danny Boy was known in the area as the local dope dealer. At least he served kind of the area I was in and the whole trailer park, which, guess what? A lot of customers there. Duck had bought some shit from him a few times, but apparently they crossed paths at some point, you know, while Cindy and I were not there, and Duck was doing whatever Duck does in the area. And this guy, Danny Boy, like confronted him, like, yo, who's this guy I hear that's running around here fucking trying to push his dope around here? And Duck was like, man, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And he was like, yo, I hear his name's Jay or some shit. And he was like, oh, that's my boy, dude. You need to watch yourself. And Danny didn't take really kindly to that. He didn't respond well. And not that he was going to flex on Duck, but it was enough that Duck made a mental note to talk to me about it. Because we were chilling one night, as usual, playing the video games and fucking acting like goofy children. And he pops out of nowhere, right? We had been hanging out for like fucking 2 hours that night. And just out of, he's like, oh, I got something to tell you. I was like, Jesus, son, what's going on here? He goes, you heard about that dude, Danny Boy? I was like, I've heard of him. And he joked. He goes, yeah, he's the guy everybody, oh, he runs around with the gun his dad gave him. I was like, that's all, literally the only thing I've heard about that guy is that he runs around with a gun and likes to pull it out and wave it around at people. He's like, well, apparently your name's made it to his ears. And I was like, so? You know, because in my head, I'm like, dude, I'm not dealing dope over here. I leave the area when I go to do whatever it is I got to do. Like, I'm being respectful, at least in my head. But he didn't feel the same way. And so Duck was like, yo, just be careful. You know, people like that, you never really know what they're gonna do. And I was like, yeah, all right. And I took it with a grain of salt, and we kept hanging out. I don't know if it was the next day, a few days later, but nonetheless, KK had one of the empty trailers in the trailer park set up as like a kick it spot. Okay. I mean, KK knew everybody in the area. He knew the guy that managed and ran the trailer park. He knew the people that ran and managed Sedona Ridge. Like, he just kind of knew all the right people. And that was always a spot like we would kind of dip to when you just needed some quiet time. We'd go over to the trailer park, and there were some empty trailers, and we knew which ones we could go in and just hang out. And I was headed over there one night. On each side of the main entrance, it was a large trailer park, you know, so there was like man entrances, like walkthroughs and the, you know, through the concrete wall to get through into the trailer neighborhood. And I was walking through one night, and there was an S10 that just kind of came pulling up on me real quick. And I stepped out of the way thinking it was somebody that lived there to roll around. It was this dude, Danny Boy. Now, I'm on the side of this trailer park that butts up to what we call the hole in the earth. Okay. It when this trailer park ends, it was like the world dropped off, and it was just dirt and hills for like, it was a massive, massive area. It was almost like they walked away from swampland over there. I don't know really what the hell was going on, but it was, we always joked that there was bodies buried over there, which may or may not have been a joke. So we're over on the dark side of the trailer park, and he pulls up on me, and he gets out, and he's like, "You Jay?" And I was like, "Yeah, man, what's going on?" Like, I knew who he was, but I was playing stupid. And he kept walking up. He's like, "Yo, man, like fucking, I hear you've been like dealing some shit around here." And I was like, "Nah, bro, I leave the area to do that shit." I was like, "That's not how I operate." And he's like, "Yeah, well, that's not what I hear." And I could tell by his body language that this was not going to be a pleasant conversation. I got to be honest, like, just because I don't like to fight, just because I'm not quick to violence, doesn't mean I'm not okay with it. Okay. It doesn't mean I don't know how to fight. And so my instincts kicked in, I guess, as best as they could for a tweaker. And I just started watching his shoulders and his hips, because if somebody's going to throw a punch at you, those are going to move first. But the other problem I had about this dude is I knew, and everybody, KK told me, Duck told me, fucking even Killam wound up to fucking talking about this guy at some point, how he's got his, always got his gun, and he's always waving it around. And so I knew that I needed to watch for this fucker reaching for his waistband, because he was one of them fucking goofballs. I'll be honest with you guys, man. That's why I didn't fucking carry that revolver around that fucking hero gave me. I dressed very nice. You know, I didn't want to have a fucking gun in my pocket, like pulling my pants down. And I didn't want one in my waistband with the opportunity to shoot my dick off. Okay. Like, just that whole fucking, I'm gonna keep my gun on my waistband. Nah, bro. That's crazy talk. But I knew that this guy liked to grab his from his waist. You know, everybody joked about it. But here's the thing, man. Everybody's seen this dude do it, and nobody really ever did anything about it, because they were all kind of just had a comfort that he wasn't going to do anything. But here's the problem, man. Like, guns go off. You know, you can talk as much shit as you want about that guy that carries a gun and doesn't pull it, because if it gets hung up, if he flinches, if he gets scared, you're gonna have a hole in you. And I'm not playing that shit. So when this guy kept kind of getting closer and getting closer, I just started watching his hips and his shoulders. You know, while I was keeping my eyes locked on his, I was like peripheral vision watching this guy. And he was like, "Yo, man, like, this ain't the area for you." And I was like, "I don't really know that that's for you to say. Like, I don't even really know who the fuck you are. You knew my name and I knew his name. I was like, I don't know who the fuck you are. And he was like, fucking motherfucking Danny boy, son. And I'm like, son, I don't know who the fuck you're calling son, bro, but you need to back up a little bit. And right when I told him he needed to back up a little bit, that motherfucker reached for his waistband. He might have just had an itch. I don't know, but I didn't wait. I didn't wait. I started swinging on this dude. I mean, fucking immediately. It was both hands flying fast. And I ain't no chump with the fucking hands. Like, fucking, but I followed this guy down and I kept fucking swinging. I swung on this dude until he forgot how to be conscious. I beat consciousness out of him. Because you never know. I can't let this guy get up when I'm walking away. He's got to be good and out. But when that was done, my knuckles were fucked up because some of my, I mean, I was swinging a lot. I was swinging a lot, and some of them skipped off the side of his head and hit the concrete. Some of them did not. Some of them punches landed really well. And here I am again. Here's this Hefe dude taking full control. And what was bizarre about it is I felt so calm and so reassured that this is exactly how it's supposed to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, you don't let a dude reach for his gun, you fucking end that situation. That's how it's done, right? That's what the rap songs say. That's what they show in the movies. Don't be a punk. That is not the fucking smart move. I mean, I don't know what the smart move was in that instance, but I chose violence. And when I got up and kind of was being a little bitch about my knuckles hurting hell bad, I was like shaking them, you know, like I wasn't worried about him. But for a second, I thought, hey, I can't, if I'm walking away and this dude wakes up, I can't have him waving this gun around. So I took it. I took his gun, I put it in my pocket. And when I reached it into my pocket, I had my bag of dope. And I was like, oh. And I pulled my bag of dope out and I fucking threw it on him. And I was like, here's some fucking shit we're smoking, fucking chump. So I hooked it up. You know what I mean? I didn't leave him with nothing. I took his gun, but I gave him some good dope. And you know, that wound up ending my instinct told me, all right, get the fuck. You're not gonna go over to meet KK. You're not gonna stay in this trailer park tonight. So I walked over and saw Duck, and Duck was like, what the fuck is going on with you? I mean, I was all disheveled. I was sweaty. I mean, fuck, it's Vegas, dude. I was sweating anyway. Like, I sweat for fun. I sweat thinking about sweating. And now I'm swinging on this guy. Like, I mean, I was drenched in sweat. And being disheveled was not me. And my hands were all bloody. And when Duck asked me, you know, what the fuck's going on, bro? I was like, oh, check this out. And I pulled dude's gun out and I fucking sat it on, I don't know if it was his coffee table or his kitchen table. I'm not 100% sure how far into Duck's apartment I had gotten at that point, but he was like, oh shit. And I was like, yeah, it's fucking Danny Boy's gun. I was like, I couldn't leave him with it. And he was like, bro, what the fuck did you do? Like, he panicked way worse case scenario than it was. And I explained to him the situation, like, yo, he ran up on me on the fucking dark side. That's what we called it. Like, started fucking sweating me. And I was, you know, I saw his hand reach for his waistband and I didn't wait. And Duck was like, fuck, bro. Like, oh, you're like that. And no, I'm not. But I didn't tell him that. I don't know that Duck knew I had that in me, you know, because everything he knew about me was, yeah, I deal dope and I like to get high and I'm really fun to hang out with. And I was a goofy dude, but I don't think he saw that piece coming. He was quite surprised. And then he like reassured me. He was like, you kiss, so he ran up on you. I explained the whole thing. He was like, all right, well, we're not done with that. And I was like, what are you talking about? He was like, well, you're my company over here, and that dude ran up on you. So now Duck's pissed, and now he wants to get a hold of this dude. I was like, yeah, fucking. No, thank you, bro. You do you. I can't fuck with that, dude. So I nursed my wounds. You know, Cindy rolled her eyes. For some reason, she wasn't surprised by it. You know, like, she's known me for a very long time. She's known me since I was like the good kid in school. She's watched this evolution. And it was like every time I got worse, she wasn't surprised. And she cleaned my wounds and you know, bandaged up my hands as they needed to be. And it was like as though nothing happened. Now that night we got high with Duck one more time and we headed back to Harbor Island. Like it was time to kind of go back and rethink what had happened. And what had happened was any story that starts with what had happened was is always a good one, right? So what had happened was KK shows up the next day and Duck wasn't playing. Like Duck went out after I left and went looking for this dumb motherfucker, and he found Danny Boy over wherever. I'm not 100% sure exactly where Danny Boy hung out in that trailer park. I wasn't that familiar with it. You know, like I knew of a couple of spots in the trailer park, but I wasn't like abundantly knowledged to the place. But guess who was? Duck was. And Duck went over there and found Danny Boy that night sitting in his truck, all lethargic, at what I understand to be this guy Zach's house. He ran up on him and he was like, "Yo, fucking, my people are coming around here and you're fucking with them." And before the dude could say anything, pulled him over to the passenger side of his own truck, put his face into the seat, and just continued to bash the dude's head with the side of his fist. And I mean, massive fists. So now KK shows up to my house. He's telling me this story. Now, I wish I could show you guys KK telling a story, because here's this Asian dude. He's probably, I don't know, 5'10". He was tall but very thin, and he's just hopping all over, like reenacting the whole thing. But he's like, "Yeah." And then Duck fucking held him down and just thumped that fucking guy like six times on the head, and he was out. And I was like, "Oh shit, this guy got beat unconscious twice in one night." Fuck. Oof, that guy's having a fucking rough life. And I swear to God, KK goes, "Yeah." And then fucking Duck took the guy's bag of dope. And I'm like, "That's my bag of dope." Fucking Duck just went and beat this dude back unconscious and stole the dope that I threw at him. This fucking Danny Boy learned a fucking lesson that night. Duck and I were two peas in a pod. We were two goofy ass dudes that were pretty okay with violence. And we became good friends. And I tell you, man, watching KK tell that story, I knew that this story was going to get around fast. Because see, here's the thing is if you go back to several episodes ago, we talked about my first experience at Harbor Island and smacking the shit out of that dude that sent his girl short with money. Okay, well, if that story got around, this one is certainly not going to hold still. This one's going to have legs and it's going to run around. But then to have Duck fucking bouncing off this guy at the same time, oh, this is going to get interesting. The reason why I tell this story and the reason why I led with the intro is you see, this is what in my head I was supposed to do. Okay. And it began because I was influenced by people that either I looked up to or idolized or felt some type of positive way about. And in reality, I was guided into a horrible situation by people that would have never fucking done what I just did. They got rich and they might have paid somebody else to do it, but there's real motherfucking gangsters out there. That ain't me. That ain't me. I was following some rules. I was following the guidelines, you know what I mean? I was reading the directions to get it right. There's some motherfuckers out there that are thorough. They were born with that shit in them. Now, here's the thing, whether you're born with it in you or you read the directions to see how it's built, ultimately it's the same result. But the problem is that these guys that are born with it in them could have used a better fucking role model than some guy that's going to encourage the negative instead of the positive. Because if you've got the energy to be a thorough ass gangster, you've got the energy to fucking be something way more positive. And it's up to us as now adults or free thinking humans. It's up to us to make better fucking decisions on what we say and what we do and what we glorify and what we romanticize. And I'm not saying the music's not going to change. Maybe it will. Maybe it'll get more positive. I mean, man, you know what I'd give to get 90s R&B back? I'd give anything for that, man. That smooth groove, fucking talking about making love and being in love and da da da. You know what I mean? All that good feel shit. Like I feel like it's all gone, and we're just trying to influence fucking youngsters and fucking adults. We're trying to influence humans to behave in the most negative ways possible. And there's people out there capitalizing off of it. So that's why I made this association. This is why I had this. Again, this epiphanous moment, this too dumb to run. Because I'm gonna tell you, when Danny Boy ran up on me, there wasn't a single fucking thought about turning around and walking away. And that's exactly what the fuck I should have done. I had time when I saw him pulling up and I recognized who was in there. I could have dipped right back through that wall and been just fine. And instead, I stood my ground like a dumbass, like, fuck it, bro, let's do this. Because that's who I thought I was. And you know, he could have spilled my brains that day, and so much would have been lost, not just my life. So much pain would have been caused because I was too dumb to run. Oh, let's make a conscious effort this week to be cognizant of the things we say and our actions. People are watching, even when you think they're not. And your best or worst of intentions are noticed. And sometimes behaving in a certain way gives somebody you don't even know permission to do it as well. You know, I try to teach my kids, like, be the example. This is, you know how you're supposed to act. Do that. Bring your people up to your level. Don't go down to theirs. And if we all approached life like that, slowly and slower, and it over time, we wouldn't be so dumb to not run. You know, this one's getting released on Saturday, and Saturday is the celebration of my grandfather's birthday that passed not too long ago, and I really hope I'm making him proud. I mean, I can't imagine I'm making him proud with this story. He might have got slightly entertained by it, but I'm really trying to do my best to honor the memory of my grandparents. You know, they were such an integral part of my life. So sorry this is a day late, but it's intentional. I really appreciate you guys listening. Please reach out. MyMadnessMethod819@gmail.com. MyMadnessMethod on Instagram. Man, hit me up. I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to talk about it. Until next time. My name is Jason Farias. Madness is my madness method.